Hello and welcome to Ascension Day, a Warhammer 40,000 Gene Stealer cult podcast. I have with me Primus Elias. Elias, how are you doing?
Hi, I am exhausted after work, but getting a little bit into the cult again after having a little break from it.
I have also had a break. That's mainly why I haven't been putting out episode recently. After playing the same list for like a year and a half, you get a little burnt out. You know, more news at 10. What have you been playing recently?
So, first of all, I was like, okay, I might play some Necrons. Mm-hmm. Then my Necrons got stolen. So that was fun. Lovely.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe some people have heard about, we had a break-in, like one guy lost 5 armies and 30 years of work. Mm-hmm. And so on. They broke into our gaming locale. But yeah,
so one of the bigger stores, right? Or bigger places that you guys all played?
No, we literally have a gaming club in a, like, mm-hmm. It's an old store that we have, like, turned into a gaming club. Mm-hmm. Because the like local game store over here has like is very small, so it doesn't really have any tables. Mm-hmm. So over here, like there's like 4 or 5 clubs in Gothenburg, Sweden, and like all of them has like 4 to 5 tables.
Yeah,
maybe. So people mostly play in the clubs, and then we have like a city spanning league where people from all the clubs are like joining.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say, if anyone around the Gothenburg area, you know, knows anything, you can feel free to come into the Discord channel and DM Elias or I. We're both the admins of the server. And if you guys know anything, please, you know, reach out. I'll see about maybe being able to get some pictures of the armies from you guys. So if it like pops up on eBay or Facebook Marketplace or something, then we can at least put that out to the community.
So there went my playing the Necrons thing. And then I was like, okay, I'll play some demons, I guess, because all the new shiny Grotsmas stuff came out. Mm-hmm. And turned out the demons also got stolen.
So, oh, God, no.
So a friend of mine was like, okay, you want to play Custodes? I have a Custodes army. And I was like, yeah, sure. Took them to an RTT and dropped like 9 points over 3 games. So,
did you play Spearhead?
No, Solar. Shield Host.
Shield Host? Nice, yeah. Shield Host just seems to be all around, like, just strong. Like, strong, basic Custodes.
Yeah,
I played Talons a few times and Spearhead a few, that one a few times as well.
Yeah, it was like, so got into the, I can probably like go through that there already quickly. First off, I played against a Windrider host Eldar that did not know how to play new Eldar. And he got like 37 points and got tabled by turn 3. Turns out having damage 2 is pretty good. Second round, I played into an orc where he lost his Gorgonaut turn 1 to Kyriadraxus, shooting it twice.
Happens.
And then the Meganops got out and got charged by Blade Champ and died. And that happened. Third game was into Renegade Raiders, where I actually had to try a little bit.
Yeah. Renegade Raiders, I imagine, was a pretty back and forth game.
Yeah. But it ended like 96 to 51 or something like that. So it was pretty fun. But yeah, nice. So I've been mostly running around. I've also done some like TTS events on Eldar and Swarm Host, because I'm one of those madmen who can actually play Swarm Host on a clock on TTS and not clock out too much. That happened.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but now I'm like looking to go back into Claw.
Yeah. I think I built a few Claw lists, and Claw seemed, especially if the meta still wants to be more elf dominated, you know, Claw having the speed that they do, and all the mortals that they could dish out,
and all the flamers,
and all the flamers. Bodies. Exactly. Yep. You only get to not overwatch one thing. So, nice. Well, like I was saying, I also took a little bit of break. I have a team of local guys. We went to ATC, which is kind of like the premier team circuit here in the States. We ended up getting second at one of the ATC events, which is really cool. We beat a few of the more bigger teams. It was kind of funny because it's like all the teams around us on the podium were all like, you know, they had their jerseys and they're all and they had like all of their matrix was just super built out and stuff like that. And then our team was like five dudes wearing sweats and a basic red, yellow, green matrix. And we were able to secure second with that, which is awesome. So we're looking at doing the ATC champs here in July, which is dope because we got our tickets paid for coming in second there. So that should
be. Are you coming in sweats again, or are you actually getting jerseys this time?
Our team captain wants to do jerseys, but we haven't decided. So there is a not 0% chance that we might just go in like our pajamas again. and
not like the best way to win though.
Yeah, exactly. At least I'll be comfortable. But yeah, recently, you know, kind of getting back into the cult, which is nice. Sometimes, you know, having that little bit of a break, especially playing like index / host for, like I said, a year and a half, where it's like, you know, 130 models up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down.
Only 130? I was at 150 something.
Yeah, I'm not a... I know what my limits are, and I know that I am not a 100 neophyte player. 80 is like the max. Anything above that, my ADHD just takes over. I start losing models. And then
first ever tournament with Jeans the Cult back in 9th edition, I think it was like 2023 or something. I brought 80 neophytes in Myriad Cults to tournament.
Ooh,
completely decked out with Webbers to kill the Iron Hands, to kill the Speeders.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like, because the Speeders were like strength 5 or something, and every roll above their strength, you did mortals. And I got matched into Grey Knights, CK, and Demons. So, like, the Webbers absolutely did nothing. And, like, I think, like, 60% of the field or something was Space Marines or something. So I was like, come on.
Yeah.
There was, like, three Demons players at the tournament, and I played all three of them.
I have all these shotguns specifically for killing Marines, and you don't give me any Marines.
But yeah, I've been, ever since like the last podcast I was on with you and Floof, where you two like basically convinced me to try Swarm Host. I've been playing Floof's version of Swarm Host.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It's been, it's definitely good. And watching, you know, talking to him and then watching his games, like, there's something to be said of a opponent just not having the activations to be able to get through all of those bodies, and then by the time you do, you're so behind on primary that like the game is, you know, pretty much over.
My favorite thing to do with 20 neophytes nowadays is just charge Angron because without the sustain he can't get through them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and they're usually wanting the field of pain and the like. You know, +2 to move or advance and charge.
Yeah.
I think very rarely that they're
because I think he's like thing. Isn't he like 18 attacks or something? So like he's just off from killing a 20 man.
Exactly. So yeah.
Just
and then one dropped hit or one dropped wound and or a couple, because you should drop like at least two. Then you're definitely not killing that. Maybe even through the sustained. You could
with the sustained, you're probably dead.
You're still probably dead, but you know, there's always that chance. No, that's awesome that you've been kind of getting it to host. I think host is a lot of fun. I mean,
because like,
we enjoyed the index.
Because I was like on the Outlander Claw, and you were always on the host, and you, like, kept telling me I should try host.
Yeah, well, especially I think Claw always had like a little issue with stuff like Sisters.
Were good in Sisters.
Were they? I mean, even with the triple Castigator and triple Emulator.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because so the thing was like, yeah, sure, they could pop your vehicles, but they usually didn't have the volume to actually kill everything.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess if you do the -1 damage on a rock grinder or something, and then like you could throw the info on the ridge runners, and then all of a sudden like they're living when they really shouldn't be. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that though. Well, speaking about Sisters, we had a big balanced data slate. I'm sure most of our listeners know. GSC like relatively unscathed, which
we got away like bandits again.
Exciting. Well, that's what happens when you have like a low play rate. I mean, look at Death Watch, right? Like absolutely zero changes to any of their meta lists, and they just won LVO, but no one's playing them. So it's kind of nice to be in that position.
Except if you're Innis, where you get target banned.
Yeah, well, you know, Innis just needs to stop talking about GSC. if he just focused on winning and didn't say anything about the faction, we could have even gone through with no point changes. But you know, yeah,
love you, Innis. We love you.
Yeah. One day I'll tell him that when he's not playing GSC and not fucking with my faction. Overall, huge changes in the meta. A lot of our predators, you know, got reined in. Mortars for guard got toned way down. Bridgehead, which was like, I'm going to be host, but kind of better, got reined in quite a bit. I don't even think people are really going to be playing too much Bridgehead anymore. So that's been really cool to see that GSC still has a way forward to being a top meta contender.
We weren't bad into Bridgehead, though.
It wasn't bad. I think it was definitely like who goes first.
Maybe with host, but talking to, for example, Henry LRM, who's been playing a lot of Claw, the Bridgehead matchup was actually pretty good because of all, because of transports and all the flamers and stuff, the Bridgehead had a problem.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That's always been like kind of a weak point for hosts as well, is, you know, dealing with guys in boxes. So I imagine that Bridgehead kind of had some of those same problems. But yeah, for hosts, it was definitely a lot more of a skill matchup, who went first, who's able to like sneak a primary here or there. And the games are always tight, but it always seemed like guard had like just a bit of an edge. Especially into the rest of the meta, like the Tempesta Scions with the command squads, like just put out so much more reliable damage than Neos were able to do. Now Neos had a bit more bulk, so they could absorb a bit more, and then we had our Return to Shadows, which helped the problem of recursion. However, like if you just drop down and kill everything, then recursion really isn't an issue. So it's nice to see that that matchup has gone away. I imagine that guard is going to be shifting to more of the mech assault and hammer of the emperor type lists. So Lehman Russes and dudes and Tauroxes running.
Which
around,
we kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, that means that you're able to 6-inch deep, especially with hosts, you're able to 6-inch deep strike and, you know, move block or charge them with neophyte bricks and just tie vehicles up.
And, potentially one-shotting tanks.
Exactly, and they really don't have amazing melee, so them getting out and punching our neophytes to death isn't really an issue. Another big change in the meta is orcs. Now, orcs, for a lot of armies, are like, whew, spooky, man. Very spooky. The new Mordaka detachment just gives their entire army sustain to. They have assault in the WA. I'm not sure if that's a change to the WA. Or if that's a change to just that detachment, do you know?
I believe it's a change to the detachment because of how, like, isn't the WA just extra strength attack and advanced charge?
Advanced charge, that's what I thought.
With, where, let me actually check because I have it in front of me. Give me a second. Orcs. There you go. Mordaka, which I think is misspelled because it should be Mordaka.
Mordaka.
Yeah.
It does give them the assault that being in that detachment. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's fucking huge, man. Assault. So advance in charging and shooting orcs, which in and of itself is already spooky. However, they can also do that as many times as they want for a CP for a unit. So for one CP, they can take a unit and throw them into the WA. So that could be, you know, a unit flash gets. That can be, I know a lot of people are talking about the grots with the character that can lead them, that make them minus one to wound and gives them scout. As well, and coming from playing knights, that was always orc's scariest unit. Like, not tank busters, not the dude with the shock attack. It's that unit is so hard to get through if you do not have weight of dice. The one nice thing is the character is very easy to precision out. I believe he doesn't have a invul. So, like, if you are playing knights or you're playing, or if for like Gene Steer Cult, if you have like a patriarch or just any kind of like beefy character, abominant, you know, you could always just try and precision out that guy. And then the grots become so much easier to deal with.
So, like, my biggest problem with this detachment, except in addition to that stupid strat, which is probably one of the best strats they've ever printed, is who thought it was a good idea to put sustained hits 2 on orcs?
Because essentially like, makes them hit on 3s, right? At that point, so they're normally hitting
like,
on 5s.
As Curious said on the stat check show, like, every sustained hit's like basically plus 1 to hit. So when it comes to, for example, Lutas, you triple their output.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did someone
full, with full rerolls? Yeah. when they're on objectives, like, Lutas are disgusting.
Also, I don't know if you have actually come up against this, but have you run into a mega knob squad? Have you run into a knob squad that rerolls wounds? Because that thing is terrifying.
So the army that I'm building right now is Votann. I've been kind of like on and off Votann for a while now in 10th edition, and I finally just like bit the bullet and bought some models. And as soon as that came out, I dropped everything that's like expensive out of there, except for the two forts that I still have in my list. Because I think two up armor is still, you know, pretty good. But I would not be bringing a 10-man unit of Aberrants. I would not be bringing like a 10-man unit of Pure Strains. Just because right now, anything the orcs point their guns at, as long as it's like a Luda or a Tank Busta even, or Flash gets in that detachment, is dead. It's just instantly wiped off the floor. Because not only do they have the built-in sustain too, which is amazing, they can ignore cover for a stratagem. They get plus one AP for a stratagem. They could shoot back. So reactive shooting. So like if you shoot at them with like some hand flamers, they could just pick up hand flamers in their turn, which, you know, isn't really necessarily bad for us. But like if I was a Marine player, you know what I mean? Like, and I shot them with.
The thing is though, like their sustained hits too is only in their own shooting phase. So if they shoot back or overwatch, they don't actually get sustained too.
Which is nice. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think our matchup into orcs aren't actually that terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Even like when it comes to, for example, claw, I'm not sure, like, yeah, they're orcs, they're gonna punch you kind of hard, but we do basically the same thing.
Yeah, well, I think the thing...
The only problem we have is when they come in a lot of trucks, if you play, for example, Host, because Host usually doesn't have that much melee threats.
Yeah, well, that's why I've actually switched back to bringing some MSU Aberrants, is to like get them to force them out of their vehicles if they want to, you know, deal with these guys lumbering up the field.
Because I want to go back to, like, for example, Claw, which is also one of the reasons that I moved to Claw, because Claw has like so much, like, okay, you have a ton of small activations and a ton of mortal wounds, and you actually have some combat with the acolytes. Mm-hmm. You can probably crack the trucks and also kill the stuff inside if you play it right. So I think the matchup isn't horrible. It's probably weighted towards the orcs because that's just so much damage. Mm-hmm. But I think it's all right.
I don't think that it will be particularly bad for Claw. You do have the advantage of being able to scout up the bikes and sticky objectives and kind of like bring them back. And then if you have, you know, all of your laser runners that can pop trucks like no problem. Of course, the laser runners will die in response to that, you know, if they're going to be shooting them. I mean, you do have the reactive move, but that's really only going to matter if they try and punch you, which orcs do not need to do in this detachment. But I do think that you can find a win out of Claw by just being efficient MSU. I think that the scary thing, if I was playing Claw, is that you generally don't start with too much in Deep Strike. And depending on the deployment and the map you're playing, you can potentially be Alpha Striked pretty hard. That being said, we do have the advantage of having some really good infiltrators with Pure Strains and even Kellamorphs or Reductuses. That can kind of keep the orcs kind of like on their side. Because it's what it seems that to me is that they want to, if they want to Alpha Strike, that they're going to want to take advantage of like scout moves, and being able to just kind of run up the board. So you do have like at least a turn if you bring some infiltrators to kind of keep them at bay. So I definitely think that for overall for GSC, it's not a bad matchup. I think for hosts is actually fine, as long as you have ways of either A, cracking trucks early, or forcing them to get out of their trucks early. Because once the orcs are on the table and they're disembarked, then I mean it's what neophytes do best, right? Like they love shooting orcs. They love shooting orcs that are on the table. Like infantry on the table. Like you could clean up a unit of flash gits or of tank buses or of looters or whatever, like with a single neophyte unit, like with a Benefictus or Primus leading them, like without any issue, even through the wall. Traditionally, the only thing that's been kind of obnoxious to get through has been like mega knobs with the feel no pain as well as the invul. Because they, I believe the Mega Knobs also have a 2-up armor, I want to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, they have a 2-up armor. So even through like the plus one, all of your, they're saving on three, or the plus one from a Ridge Runner, they're saving on threes with all of your shotguns and. So that's always been in hosts, like shotguns have become super relevant, especially like if you're running bennies, because you want that lethal, because getting the lethal from those. So I think that if they are running like more DACA, or they're running the tactical, which I imagine that pretty much everyone who has been running tactical is just going to switch to more DACA. I think it is fine. I have heard of people like talking about bringing like a couple, like maybe one or two Mega Knob units, just because you can flex them into the wall whenever you want, so they can get that feel no pain. But that could always be just something, a unit that you ignore, and you kind of focus on their shooting. Now the rest of the field, like the rest of the meta is, I don't know. Like if I were playing Marines right now and I saw that orc today, I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Because
the Ultramarine Gladius vehicle spam will just get blown off the table.
Yeah. Like I was listening to Art of War, and they were talking about, like, I guess John brought a Death Watch, like a very hyper efficient Death Watch list, and Jack brought a more DACA list, and John, who's been playing like Marines since Kingdom Come, just got annihilated against an army that's only been out for a few days. So it's definitely spooky. I do think that if for our listeners who play teams, that orcs and elves, which we will talk about next, beings who are going to be so prevalent in the meta, that GSC is a fantastic pick to bring in, because I mean, not only are GSC just all around great at, you know, scoring and primary denial, and even in bad matchups keeping it relatively close, they are fantastic. I think they're good into orcs. I don't think that they're fantastic, but I do think you can get a solid 12 into more DACA. However, with Yanari taking absolutely zero nerfs, I think that just really makes it important to be bringing Gene Stealer Colt, because, you know, surprise, surprise, GSC are still good at killing elves.
So I've been playing elves a little bit in the Vibecheck League, and also in some other TTS tournaments. And like when you get into a matchup the elves like, the opponent, it feels so oppressive for the opponent. Like I played elves into a Dark Angel's Gladius list, and he literally couldn't interact with me because of the fight first. Mm-hmm. Like he charged the lion into some scorpions and had to get like he couldn't do that without getting heroic by the an incubi brick.
Mm-hmm.
And the lion just died. Then he fought on death and killed the Visark, and that was the only thing he killed. Swinging back into the incubi, which is probably not how it's supposed to go. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
But like he could, and then like I put some banshees next to another unit of scorpions, and his like inner circle companions just stood there. Like he had like a free man of inner circle looking at my scorpions with a couple of banshees behind, and then he was like, "How am I supposed to do this?" But yeah. But then I played into guard, bridgehead, and got mortared for 5 rounds. I've heard the CK is a really bad matchup for the elves. Admech is like a guaranteed 0-20 for the elves, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
From one of the better Admech players in Sweden. And GC loves playing elves. So
loves them.
I elves are probably good, but I'm not sure they're actually top.
I think that whenever we look at stats, especially if we look at like GT wins, you also have to consider like the pilots behind that. Elves, Marines, CSM are all like armies that a lot of top level players like have access to. Like either A, they own the army, or B, you know, they're in a group where they can just borrow hammer, like a competitive list. So while like their mechanics maybe not being, you know, super broken, it's the fact that the person behind the army is going to be good enough of a player to do well with them and to make them seem that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I do feel like I think elves most certainly have a place in like maybe an 8 man in a 5 man team. I'm not completely sure though, but I don't know.
I probably wouldn't. If I was a team captain, I probably wouldn't like flex someone into elves. If I didn't have an elf player, I probably wouldn't like force someone into it. Just because like while Yunari does like have a lot of bullshit, they are also you got to know how to use that. So I definitely think that like you can run into like a lot of bad elf players. Or no, I shouldn't say bad, but like players who maybe aren't super experienced with that kind of playstyle. But I don't like me being the GSC player that I am, and I'm, you know, while I think I'm decent at the army, I'm not a top GSC player. I don't see a world where I lose a game into elves with, especially with host. Like host is, I would not even know where to begin on how to play against host as elves. Like the Yunari rule, you know, doing the movement at the end of the shooting phase. Like the fact that it's at the end of the shooting phase just is. It has no relevance against Gene Stealer Cult, because that means that like the problem with Phantasm was always that you had to position all of your units in such a way that like you can shoot at multiple things in case they phantasmed. Like, you wouldn't want to drop a neophyte squad and it not have anything to shoot. But you really don't have to worry about that because whatever you shoot, you will kill. And by the time you're done shooting, like, sure, they can do their movement shenanigans, but where are they going to go? Like, they're still T3 single wound bodies. So running closer to the neophytes isn't actually that great of a choice. Even with the fight first, because, like, especially if there's a Primus in there, like, the Primus and whatever neophytes are remaining, like, will probably still pick up, like, a 5-man of whatever Howling Banshees, like, whatever you got, because they're still going to have their sustained. You know, if you have CP left over, you can still crit on 5s. And if it's, and the Primus himself is still, like, good enough melee that he's very spooky.
Another thing to deal with. Another thing that goes in our favor is Ridge Runners are basically an elf's worst nightmare because they're strength 6 mortars.
Like, they're actually relevant as damage. You know, not just applying our plus one.
In the claw list I'm playing, which I shamelessly stole from Henry, there's also triple saboteur. So you want to eat you want to eat 5 mortars? Go for it.
Like on a 5 up, on a 5, like, if as long as you, like, roll your 2 up, if you roll a 5, your elf unit just dies. If you also roll a 3, you're left with a single model, like the sergeant on one wound, who's gonna do nothing. Like, saboteur is just fuck also, elves so hard.
Also the saboteur having the remote explosives for, which is a strength 5 mortar that can get ignore cover with the, if he runs survey auger. Yeah, they're also not gonna have a good time.
No, I think I think that while the rest of the field, like, being like, oh my god, like, I can't believe that they didn't change Yanari, I think that's almost like a shadow buff for GSC, because that means that a ton of people are still going to be playing elves, because I'm sure that when the codex dropped, a lot of people went out and bought models, and they still want to play with their models and their new codex, and they have a detachment that was untouched, that elves are still going to be huge in the meta, which means that GSC have tons of bodies to feast on and to climb. And not just for teams, like, for just for singles as well. Like, I think it's fine. Like I said, I think orcs are fine.
I think we have to test the orcs, but it looks on paper that it should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, their vehicles are relatively easy to kill, even the kill rigs.
They're not going to roll the kill rig. You're going to roll. There's going to be trucks, and you know it.
Six trucks, which trucks are stupid easy to kill.
I think it's like probably like 4 to 6 trucks.
Yeah.
Not like, I mostly play on WTC, and I'm not sure how you maneuver 6 trucks on WTC, but in more open board, yeah, probably maybe.
So, while we got to wait for some actual data, like, I don't really see anything coming out of the data slate that necessarily spooks me at all. I mean, playing host into sisters, like, was never really an issue. The only thing that would be kind of scary is if Marines, like, especially Blood Angels, like, shifted back to, like, playing Land Raider, Land Raiders with Flamers, that was the Land Raider Redeemer, and Ball Preds, because that was always like super obnoxious to play into. But with them losing their bloodless angel build,
which didn't really matter into us anyway.
No, it,
to
it
be
didn't.
Fair.
I think with them losing their bloodless angel build, either A, there'll be a little bit of faction abandonment, or B, they'll all switch to Angelic Inheritors, which is a fine matchup for us.
Or all the Marines players are just gonna play Death Watch or Ultramarines, because Ultramarines barely just took a flick on the nose and that's it.
Exactly. Which I think Ultramarines are it's a fine matchup.
But I do think Ultramarines have a problem with the Orcs, though, so that might be a thing.
Definitely. Definitely. So it'll be definitely interesting to see where we kind of like end within the overall meta.
I think we're also K into Knights, I think.
Into which one? Knights? Yeah.
Yeah, both Knights. Like, I played host into a Chaos Knight, and turn two, I dropped and like put a couple of Knights on like low wounds, and I was like, oh, okay, the game's probably over. The turn afterwards, I killed 6 War Dogs in one turn, so.
Yeah. No, I definitely think Knights are fine. The only time that I would say I've had problems with Knights is if I, like, whenever I was playing host, is I did go to an RTT where I dropped a game against Knights, but it was when I was bringing some trucks in to hold, or Rock Grinders, excuse me, to hold 5-man Aberrants. If those points were just put into more Neophytes, and like a Reductus Saboteur or two, which are a fantastic knight tech piece, because like they're knights, they're gonna come forward, so you're gonna get your, you know, D3+3 mortals, you're gonna get your free grenade, and then on top of like just all of the rest of the shooting from the Neophytes, then I think that game would have gone a bit differently. But like Imperial Knights get absolute, especially if they bring big knights, they get absolutely slaughtered. GS like host loves saying like, you have one important thing, I will kill that one important thing. We have so many ways of making that happen, like a Neophyte squad, like let's say the Primus Neophyte squad with chink in their armor. You give him crit on 5s, and then if you also want to spend +1 to wound for like him and a unit of Flaccos, like I've had those take a full health Lancer, which is 25 wounds through the Field No Pain, to 0. Like, just absolutely nuke it off the board. And it was even like that great of rolling.
Biosynthetic is also pretty okay in the Knights with +1 to wound against vehicles, and also having the last hammer on the Abominant.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think overall we're doing great. And so we'll go ahead and look at some stats. Now, obviously, these stats are not going to be including the current data slate, but I think it's cool to kind of just check out like how we've been doing overall. So we'll use Stat Check because we love them and they're very reliable. And I like to always like go back a couple of like sub patches. So we'll be looking at data from Pariah 1.05 to Pariah 1.07, which includes Grotmas and Codex Astra Militarum, Grotmas and Codex Eldari, and then their most recent one. And right now, with all three of those, we're sitting at a 53% win rate, a 1.24 over rep, a 13% 4-0 start, which is the highest in the game. No event wins, and then a 2% player population. So, no event wins, I think, is not surprising. I think that's something that GSC, I've experienced this over my chunk of time playing them. You know, I've taken them to quite a bit of tournaments by this point. You can realistically get through day one of a GT with GSC and run into three people who have never seen GSC. Like, even at this point, 10th edition, like, through their highs and their lows and, you know, where they were at the beginning of the edition and where they were, like, towards the resurgence with Claw and Brood Surge, now Host. You can easily get through day one and play against people who have never seen it. And maybe not even run into someone until, like, if you're playing just like a basic GT, until like game four or game five, which kind of makes sense that their stats reflect that, with such a great 4-0 start. But I think what that does mean is that you can get through the mid tables relatively unscathed, and then for that last game or two, it's just going to come down to outskilling your opponent. Like, I think that the days of there being like clear meta counters for GSC are essentially over.
Our worst matchup by far used to be Death Guard, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Death Guard was always terrible, right? But that was in the index. Where they can get, because remember in the index we had our +1 to hit, +1 AP strategy.
It was also afterwards, like running Outlander Claw into a Death Guard list was not fun.
Yeah. If you're going melee, like if you're going Brood Surge, like, but specifically playing Host into Death Guard, I remember it was a totally different game because Primed and Readied got through that -1 to hit, like all those stacking -1s to hit. Because you'll just hit on fives, which, yes, that does mean that your grenade launchers and your heavy stubbers and your shotguns would all be hitting a little bit worse. But your seismics, your mining lasers, like your big money makers are hitting on their base. And they're sustained and lethaling on fives. So even with the -1 to hit, you're still essentially hitting on fours. I would actually have to do the math what sustained and lethal like equal out to. I imagine it really depends on like the quality of target that you're shooting, but taking Host into Death Guard like feels like a fine matchup. Like your primed and ready target has to be like important. You know, it can't you can't be like just tossing that around. And you know, you do have the ability to get Overwatch by some of those Plague Marine bricks, you know, that take like the three flamers or whatever. So that was always kind of difficult. But it did not feel like how it was in the index, where like your
bomb was completely useless.
Exactly. Yeah. Like your most important units just got fucking neutered, even through like Primus rerolls. But going back to the stats, you'll be happy to know that Claw does have the highest win rate, but there's only three players. the second highest win rate is Final Day with 10, then Host with 14, Brood Surge with 22 at 51. Ascension Day. Ascension Day.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Someone played the old index?
Someone's playing our podcast?
And then the poor guy playing Brood Brothers.
The one guy playing, trying to make Brood Brothers work. Good on you for that.
Thank you, rolling our wind rate down so we don't get more nerfs. I love you. Keep at it.
No Xenocreed here, which, yeah, I mean, we can maybe talk about Xenocreed a little bit, but great.
But yeah,
just the thing great is though, overall the thing is win rate.
The thing overall is, though, Brood Brothers might have some use now with the new Guard Codex. I haven't looked at it, though.
That, yeah. I mean, Brood Brothers would always be a thing of, if there is a good data sheet, like, for me, if I'm making a Brood, if I was, like, gun to head, have to make a Brood Brothers list, it'd be like, okay, what does GSC have that Guard does it in its, like, good melee? And so it would be, what can I take from Guard that can work, that like whose data sheet carries it far enough that it doesn't need orders, and it can like be slotted in well with GSC melee. I haven't found that yet. Like, I've made lists. I've made lists for, you know, for every detachment. I've played every detachment except for Brood Brothers. But like every list, like none of the lists I've made have sparked enough joy to like, oh, I'll actually take 3 hours and throw this on the table. Xenocreed is definitely one which I can see Xenocreed doing well. The build is there, I'm sure. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we are a low play rate army. Like, even at the top, when GSC is just, you know, killing and taking names, like, I never saw us go above 3% overall meta representation. Never. Like, that was the absolute highest that ever see it went. So I think that because of that, there are just going to be some detachments that are not being tested.
Wouldn't Xenocreed be okay into elves? Just the amount of bodies?
I think so. I think So the Xenocreed list that I made was one that like tried to utilize the Icon Ward 5-up Feel No Pain.
Just the jail list?
On Neophyte, yeah, a jail like OC list, and it was fine. It just was never there. Your killing power is ass. Like it's nothing. So then the Xenocreed list that I would say is more popular is the Acolytes. Is Acolyte spam and meta spam, but even then, like the Acolytes, while you know, being a little bit tougher, being T4, and Metamorphs, you know, having a 4-up Feel No Pain versus the 5-up with the Icon Ward, it was just never like enough to really be able to punch through. So, you know, I invite our listeners, if they can figure something out if someone can go 4-1 with Xenocreed, I'm dragging you onto the show. Or Brood Brothers, then you're definitely being dragged on the show. but like, I only have so much time in my day to be able to play games. So that's why, like, when I did my testing with Xenocreed and it wasn't giving me the results I wanted, I kind of like just went back to host. But I definitely can see that there is something there. I'm sure it's just like it's all about like bringing the right amount of units and having those tech pieces be where they need to be. But Final Day is doing good.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at Final Day too much.
So that team tournament I went to, I was supposed to be playing Final Day. Like in on my painting desk next to me is 40 Gargoyles. I got like a Death Leaper. I got all that stuff like sitting here right next to me. But the testing for it was not great. So the list that I was building was essentially Gargoyle Jail with Ridge Runner shooting to back it up and some Aberrant melee. It just all died a little too quickly was the problem. Gargoyles, I mean, are great, but they are expensive. They are one of those units that can be absolutely just picked up in Overwatch, even by something that really has no reason to be doing Overwatch. Like, and it's very, very, very CP hungry. So I was doing my testing into one of my teammates. I played into Orcs, I played into Marines, and I played into Tau. The Tau game I won, but the Orcs and the Marines games I both lost. They weren't bad losses, but I did lose. And it was just because everything died too quickly. Like, I would expose a unit of Ridge Runners to, like, shoot at something important. It would probably kill it, but then they would get picked up. It's like, okay, well, there goes two of my Ridge Runners. And I brought five. So I have 2x2 laser and then one mortar. And then, you know, the second time they would go, they pick up something relatively important, but then they would die. And the Gargoyles are getting picked up by fucking whatever, right? Like, you have a Bolter on a Rhino. Cool. That's three Gargoyles dead. You know, you got some Intercessors that are just standing around. They pick up five. Now, that's not to say that, like, Final Day isn't good. Like, obviously, Nick Nanavati did pretty well with them at LVO. I think he went X and 1. And they have a good win rate right now. They are a big part of the overrep. So they can, you can do well with Final Day. And I can still see them fine in teams. I don't know. The conclusion I came to is in an 8-man, yes, but in a 5-man, like, for me, they're just not that reliable. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Final Day?
I've run around a little bit with Final Day. Like, not much. Like, they took a random list and put it on the table against Nids, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I was massively whelmed. Well, I think Final Day is probably a very good attachment, and I just haven't put enough time into it. I know a guy who does think it's the best UC detachment. Mm-hmm. Like, having Ridge Runners hit on twos, having Rock Grinders with lasers hitting on threes, having a ton of good lone op, like, everything is there, and Gargoyles being absolutely amazing. Like, I think everything is there. It's just, like, I probably haven't put enough time into it.
And I think there's something to be said. And this is more of a 40K, you know, problem than just a Gene Stealer problem. Is that your play style is really what's going to ultimately dictate how well you do with an army. Like, I can take the most broken, like, orc list, and maybe not do that well with them. Whereas I could take I remember when knights were in the doldrums, and when DGSC was in the doldrums, like, I was doing fine with host. I was doing fine with triple big knight. I took. like last year I took Chaos Knights to a GT and I brought a big knight and did fine. Like, even though everyone's saying that it's you know, you only take dogs, which, you know, for most people that's how they find success with the army. But the playstyle, what I like to do, you know, being a very hyper kind of aggressive player, I just was not doing well with Final Day. And I think Final Day, and I think that's because Final Day is one of those detachments that want to play five games of Warhammer. As a host player, I want to play three games of Warhammer, or three rounds of Warhammer. I want to play three rounds. We mop out the rest, you know what I mean? Like, the rounds four and five is just me, like, either A, you know, standing on things, collecting points, and, like, killing onesie-twosie things here and there, or, like, going for, like, a secret mission and setting up my secret mission. But I like having two rounds of just absolute fucking violence. Yeah. And some people don't want to play like that. Some people want to play the five games or the five rounds of Warhammer, and they have more success from that. They're like, I'm looking for my turn four, you know, everything come out. I jail everything up. I deny all primary. And then, you know, I know that turn four and five, they're going to have their primary. Or I take little wins here, little wins there, you know, I'll get 5 point advantage on turn two, 5 points, turn three, you know what I mean? And it's like that stacking kind of, point advantage over those five rounds are what they're looking to do. So I could definitely see how, if that's the kind of player that you are, you're much more of, I don't want to say passive, but you're much more of like a let the game kind of play itself out player. You could do well with Final Day.
I think Final Day is an attachment I could probably find success with. I just haven't put time into it, and I also don't own any Tyranid models, so.
Yeah, that's another part. luckily for me, I was able to like borrow a bit of Tyranids, and then I just printed a shit ton of Gargoyles, which was nice. But yeah, if you're not a printer kind of guy, and maybe you don't have like the models to borrow yet, getting into especially that many Gargoyles is kind of obnoxious. But overall, how are you feeling about GSC?
I think we're in a good place. Mm-hmm. Like, we're probably in a really good place.
Yeah. I think so, like, as well.
Both for teams and singles. Maybe a little bit more in teams, but
I think we have a great spot in teams. I think we really do. Like, for this team tournament that I got coming up in July, and then fingers crossed, I'm hoping that I'll be one of the players on the Air Force team for Champs Cup in September, I want to say, which I'm super excited for that because, you know, a bunch of teams come from all over the world for that. So that'll be exciting. That'll be probably the closest thing to a WTC-esque thing that I do. I'm like, I know the right answers to play GSC, but I also have these Votan that are like, I just bought that are staring at me in the face. But I mean, I'll probably be playing GSC.
Votan is pretty good, even with their little nerf.
I know people have been saying like it's a nerf, specifically talking about like your CP generation on your grudge targets, but there's a lot of debate on the wording of that. Again, GW released a rule that is not clear that we now all have to like interpret, and super fun. No, I think Votan are fine. I think Votan also have a really good game into elves. I think that they are actually probably fine into orcs, just because we do the same thing that they do, which is pops out, pop out transports and shoot shit. they shoot a little bit harder. We have a little bit better quality shooting. So, you know, it that remains to be seen. I'm sure that's like a 10-10 matchup. But GSC, I think, absolutely slaughter elves. Host,
it's not even funny.
It's not. Like, I have, knock on wood, knocking on my desk right now, I have never lost a game of Tales playing GSC. Not one. And I've probably played more than 40 games against elves at this point.
I have lost gaming to elves. There was a quarterfinal in a Vibe Check league back when the Wraith Knight was a thing.
Where it was could that Old Dev Wounds?
Old Dev Wounds and Overwatch on the Wraith Knight, where it stood in the middle of the board and Overwatch an entire 20-man Neo fight to death.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, that's why it's like, at the beginning of the edition, we always like talked about how like GSC like was the counter to elves. They weren't the counter to elves. They were the only thing that elves would be like, oh, I could lose against this.
It was very close. It was a very close game.
I could technically lose against this. Everyone else, like, it doesn't matter. But I could.
If he didn't wipe that squad, I would probably have won by like a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I think GSC are in a great place, like as well. Like our stats indicate that we're doing fine. You know, we took a 15-point nerf on 20 man.
I do wish they would give Brood Brothers a little bit more oof. Just something more, yeah. Attachment rule or something. Just to, like, because right now you're like, I'm taking 1,000 points of guard, I'm taking 1,000 points of healers, and I'm not doing anything, like, interesting. I'm just half of an army. Why not just take an entire part of an army instead and get the
rules? Exactly. Like, so if they had...
I think the detachment is flawed. In itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if they could give them even, like, two orders, like, either, like, give them, like, move, or, and, like, the plus one to hit one. I think if they just gave them those two orders and be like, these are the two orders you get to use, I think someone could make a very good Brood Brothers list.
But like, Legion. That's a good soup detachment. Or finally.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Like there is ways to make soup detachments good. Final day is a great detachment. Like in terms of rules, it is a great detachment. Just your entire GSC like half gets plus one to hit. Is in and of itself good. We have true uppy downy. We don't have to get shot. Oh, speaking about that, little bit of a, you know, side tangent. So I took I went to a GT a few months ago, I think in January. I didn't do really good. I went 2-3, which is what started my sabbatical from GSC. I should have felt bad because the guy who won LVO was also there, and he went 2-2 because I think he dropped his last game. And then he went off to win LVO. So I shouldn't have felt bad. Maybe it was just a bad bad day for everyone. But, you know, that's what kind of made me be like, okay, I'm going to take a break. What was I saying? But it was then that I found out, and I'm just going to double check it just to make sure. But Return to the Shadows, you can do in Melee. I did not know. Yep, right there. Your opponent's shooting phase just after one GSC unit, infantry unit could be removed and placed into strategic reserves. I had never known that. You know how many games against like Monster Mash or Chaos Knights or all these other games I would have won if I would have known that?
Wait, you didn't know about it?
No.
Oh my God.
I have been playing this entire time, what, like a year, thinking, or not quite a year, but almost a year, not quite, or not knowing that I could do Return of the Shadows in Melee. My mind was fucking blown. I was like,
I'm sorry, oh. I'm sorry, but this is such a typical game moment. It's insane.
It's almost as if like I had like there's a whole other weapon that I had not been firing the entire time. It's like, oh Gabe, do you know you also have like two las cannons? Like, oh, I do. it fucking blew my mind. Cause like my opponent was like my opponent had played against Host once before. And like I did pick him up and he's like, oh, I thought you would have picked him up. And I'm like, no, they're engagement range. He's like, maybe that guy cheated or something, the last guy I played, but he said that you don't need to be, you could do an engagement range. And I was like, pretty sure you can't, because like every other stratagem like that I know of, like some, like maybe one other one says like you can't be a melee. And I looked up, and it's like, nope, sure enough. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I would have loved to see your face at that moment.
Oh my god. I mean, it was and what's funny is I had just dropped the game to Legion of Excess. And if I would have been able to pick up my Neophytes, I would have won. The Legion of Excess game was fucking absolutely stupid. They're make everyone take a battle shock. I'm so happy that they got dumpster, dude. The make everyone take a battle shock stratagem was busted. I had two greater demons down to one wound. And because of the battle shock and their natural battle shock, and then the one that's able to like heal whenever they kill something. Yeah. They were just able to like get back to like half, and then like by the time the game was over they were like above half from one fucking wound. That was a game. I went to my hotel and had a few beers after that. I was like, I can't believe this. But anyway, yeah, so if you guys didn't know, you can Return the Shadows while in Melee. I wish I would have known that at Nova. That would have made me very happy, especially. Anyway. Well, Elias, I'm glad that got another episode. It's fun. It's been a while. Any parting shots? Any final thoughts?
Is this where I do plugs or?
Yeah. Plug away. Plug away, my friend.
All right. So I'm one of the moderators of the Swedish 40K community. Discord.gg/Vesla. We have probably heard of us because we've been around a bit lately. We did, for example, the sheets with all the lists for VCW and Pyra Cup. And we're also organizing a massive team tournament in Sweden this June. And you can go onto our website, vesla.gg, and find some more information there. Or just come into our Discord and say hi. Mostly in Swedish, but there's a lot of international people in there too.
I will also plug Vesla, because Elias shared one of our videos in there, and they all seem to love it. And so, big Vesla fan, big Sweden fan, big fan. Do recommend. Friends of the show. Confirmed. Cool. And then, like I said, to all of our listeners, if you're within the, you know, the Sweden scene, if you have any kind of info for this theft, please feel free to reach out to us. That would be huge if we could recover some of those models back. Cool. Thanks, guys, for listening. I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate everyone who donates to the Discord every month, that it keeps me from having to shell out my own money to keep the podcast up and going. So I really appreciate that. Sorry for not doing anything for a while. Your boy needed a break. But I am hoping to do some more stuff in the future. And hopefully provide some more GSC content in the future. Definitely I'm going to have some more guest episodes on with other folks, more Elias as well, Primus Elias. So, thanks, and we'll see you guys later.
See ya.
I just left my own call. I'm an idiot.